So let's actually start the Gemara. So here's the thing, right? The first daf of the Masechta focuses mostly on the very odd choice of words in the beginning of the Mishnah, which is or. And I don't want to spend too much time on all the sugyot. You could, right? You could spend a long time in every single example that the Gemara brings up. I don't want to get bogged down in too much, but there are some interesting points along the way that I want to make, and then sort of delve into it more on daf gimel. But if there's a sugya that as we're going along you really want to focus on, we can. But I'm not going to do that unless you particularly want to. Okay, so let's start reading through the Gemara. Okay, so the Mishnah tells you that or la'arba'asar botkinet achameitz l'or haner. So, at the light of the 14th, meaning the evening of the 14th, you search for chameitz by candlelight. Now, of course, the or there is also interesting, as we'll see. Kol makom shein machnisin bo chameitz ein tzarech bidika. In any place where you don't normally bring in chametz, you don't have to check. Uvame amru, and then as we've seen before, sheshiro b'martev. We're talking about two rows or planes or whatever in a wine cellar. Makom shemachnisin bo chametz. Beit Shammai omrim sheshiro al pnei kol amartev. It's two planes. Behil omrim sheshiro hachitzonot shehein ha'elyonot. Right now, obviously, as some of the mafarshim point out, this seems like a weird machloket to have, because what are they arguing about? They're arguing about what does shtei shurot mean, but where does it say shtei shurot, right? This is in the Mishnah, Beit Hillel, right? They're arguing about the word shura means. Does it mean a row or a plane, right? The face of it. Now, obviously, what that means is that, and this is just an important methodological point, is to remember that the Mishnah is also recording earlier traditions. And therefore, presumably what happened was there was a yet earlier Tannaitic tradition that, what do you search? Shtei shurot b'martef. And therefore, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, who are later, I mean, they're actually are pretty early, but they're still not the earliest. So they are commenting on that tradition. What does it mean? Because otherwise, this machloket makes no sense. They should have just said, this is how much of the wine cellar you have to search, rather than what does two rows mean, unless there was a given that, right, two rows, whatever that means, is what they're searching. Okay. So now the Gemara says, my or. Look at that. We started the Gemara. Now we can stop. No. My or. What is or? So Rav Huna Amar Nage. So what does Rav Huna say it is? What? Well, okay. What? Let's do this very... What does or mean in general? What? So or means night in this context. But the Gemara says, well, yeah, Nage means evening. Sorry, it means... Rav Huna says it means light, right? Nage is light, right? Light. And Rav Yehuda Amar Lele. Rav Yehuda says it means night. So Kasalka Daitach Demand Amar Nage Mamash Umand Amar Lele Mamash. So the Gemara says at this point it seems that there's a Havamina that according to Rav Huna, when do you search for chametz? During the day. Right, Nage means day, right? Isn't that what it seems like, right? If you look at Rashi, he says, Kishaira Shachar Shacharit Shel Yudalit. Isn't that the simple understanding of Huna, that or means or? So the Gemara says, Meitve, he challenges you from the following, Haboker or Va'anashim, what? Right, so the Gemara says, right, the Mishnah says that Bidika Chametz is done by Or L'Arba Asar. Now, what does Or L'Arba Asar mean? So, one possibility is Or means night, and we'll see why it would mean night. The other is that light, Or means light, and light, Stam, would mean day. Day. So, at what? So at this stage, the Gemara assumes, or entertains the possibility, which it now wants to test, that Rav Huna literally means that you do Bidika on the morning of the 14th, because or means light, and therefore in time, there's no time light. The time light would be what we call in normal language morning, and Rav Yehuda would say night, but the Gemara then challenges that and assumes that that can't be what anyone thinks, and what the Gemara is now going to do is show that the word or means night. And therefore, right, that's what the Gemara is going to do. And to that end, it's going to quote a series of very random drashot, and that's why I don't want to get bogged down to it. But again, we could get bogged down in any little sugi here if we really wanted to. Okay. So the Gemara says, Meitve. Habokir or v'ha'anashim shul chu. So in Breishit, it says that it was the morning and the people were sent away. Which people? Which people? What's the story? The brothers of Yosef, when they are sent away in the morning. That's just the pasuk. That's what it is. Okay? When Yosef sends them away, right, when he's still doing the viceroy thing. Yes? I don't have to explain that. Yes? So, he says, Alma or Yamamahu. So he says, how can you say that or, according to anybody, means night? Clearly in that context, what does or mean? Day. Why? Because it says boker, a boker or, the morning lightened up. So you see that or means day. So the Gemara says, miktiv ha or boker. So then the Gemara gets very... He says, well, it doesn't say ha or boker. What would ha or boker mean? The light was morning. If the light was morning, then light would be a noun that means morning. But what does it say? Haboker or the morning lightened. So or in this context is not a noun, but a lightened. Is it an adjective, a verb? It lightened. It's lightened. It lightened. Right? If it was a light morning, then it would be an adjective. But it lightened. Or whatever. So, Ktiv, Kaman D'Amar, it's Safra Nehar. So the way you read this is that the morning lightened. Ktiv Yehuda Marav, the Amar of Yehuda Marav, La'olam Yikanes Adam B'chi Tov, the Yetzei B'chi Tov. And the Gemara says, this is like Rav Yehuda says, that a person should always enter a city B'chi Tov. What is B'chi Tov? When it is light, right? When it is light. Now, there is a... a slight problem, and I will spend about 1 minute on it, which is the order here. What is weird about the order here? So the Gemara is just giving you good advice, which is you should, when you're traveling, you should make sure to be in a city when it is light and not be traveling at night. You know, it's dangerous. What is weird about this phrase in the Gemara? The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav L'Olam Yikanez Adam Bechitov V'yetze Bechitov. When it is good, meaning when it's light. Now again, so what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that Yosef's brothers left only when it was morning because it was light. And this accords the Yehuda's vision that you should travel when it is light and not at night. The problem is if you're traveling, are you Yotzei first or are you Nichnas first? Do you leave first or do you come in first? You leave. What does the Gemara say? Yikanes Adam Bechitov, Yotzei Bechitov. Right? You come in and then you go out. Good, so there's a slight little machlokas here, nothing too much, but if you look at Tosfot, Tosfot says, Omeri de perika kones mash with tam heavy mishum mazikin. De mafik leatam ilotete ish mi petech beto, ukara mishum mazikin kamazir. De mafkin and mine hatam kevin in rishot la mashrit. Ulufiza, filumi iro, adam tsarich lezaher, she yetse bechitov. Vahadinakat knisa tchila, haini mishum de urcha de gemara la minchat achi. So, Tosfot says that why don't you travel at night? Demons. Demons like dark. They don't like light. What? Gemara believes in demons, presumably. We'll talk about demons later, and I got it this year, probably. But for the moment, mazikin, okay? Demons. Destructive forces. Maybe not demons. Mazikin, okay? And those forces are powerful at night and not during the day. Okay, now, if the reason that you shouldn't travel at night when it's dark is because of demonic forces or whatever other mazikin you think function at night, so this should be true. When shouldn't you travel? At night, ever, right? And that is the position of the Re, right? Now, if that's the case, then what should it have said? Don't leave and don't come back, because the given is that you're home, right? And the point is, don't leave your home at night, right? And don't come back, right, from where you are until it is morning. So you should have said Yetzei and then Nichnas. And Tosfot says, sure, but don't get too worked up about it, because sometimes the Gemara just talks that way. Come in, go out. Even though technically, yes, you're going out and then you're coming in, right? The point is, don't travel at night. Don't worry about the order. The point of this is, don't travel at night. That's all it means. But then he says, what's the other possibility? He doesn't elaborate here, but in the parallel sugya in Bava Kamma, the Tosfot quotes a different position, and that is, right, what does he say? Right, he says, therefore, there's no difference as to whether you are, what? Whether this is a strange city or your own city, right? But there is another possibility that quotes, Tosfos quotes there, and that is, because very good, right? So Rebbeinu Tam in Bava Kamma says no, Yikanes is Dafka. Why? The point is, if you're home and you want to travel at night, you can travel at night. Why? Because you know where you're going. What's the problem? It's not Namazikin. What's the problem we're worried about? Getting lost. And if you're leaving at night from your own city, that's safe. Why? Because presumably you'll go to the point at which you know where to go, and then you'll camp there. Right? And then in the morning, you'll pick up and go in the direction you don't know. But what can't you do? Yikanes. If you're on your way home, so you're starting in a place that you don't know. So then leave when it's layup, because you're not familiar with it, and that's why it says yikanes. Okay? Is there lumdas in this? Do we have to spend hours conceptualizing this Gemara? No, that was my point. Is that right? We'll make brief points. Just 1 second. But if you look at the last line, Tosfot here says the Yeshomrim. Okay, other possibilities that I want to get into, but those, let's say, are the two easiest possibilities to understand. Either this is about mazikin, and therefore it just means don't travel at night at all, or it means don't travel in a place you don't know at night, and therefore you can be yotzei, you can leave your home at night, because big deal, but you can't come back home from a place where you're not familiar unless it's daytime. Okay? Great. Yes. Would this still apply tonight? Probably not, right? I mean, unless you think... okay. If it's about being lost, the answer would be no, because we have lights, we have GPS, we have Waze. No one knows directions anyways, right? During the day, during the night, no one has any idea where they're going. You can't drive 3 blocks because, Waze isn't working. I don't know where I'm going. Ah! Right? Yeah. And then you won, so then demons, you got to figure out, are there demons? Are they, popular in Modi'in? I don't know. I've never seen them. Look, Modi'in was voted on all accounts the best city in Israel to live in. Yes, it was. I saw a report last night. It was the city where people feel their tax money is being used in the best possible way. The city is planned the best. It has the best services, has the best everything, which consistently Modi'in is always at the top. What? Okay. And
Not like a low blow.
You ridiculous Americans. Anyways. What? Okay, technically, it was the city in which people felt their tax money was being used most effectively to provide services for the people living it. And was being and the most money was being used towards city planning. And it was also only of cities, of the 21 biggest cities. Like, there are small, you know, it didn't do Yishuvim. Right, it's not Yishuvim, it's not towns, it was the 21 biggest cities, which of them are the best. And Modi'in is the best, and the worst is Haifa, on every count, because there are wild boars running around through the streets. So, that is not an exaggeration, there are literal wild boars. Like, literal, like, not like, oh, like, people who act like wild boars. No, there are literal wild boars running around the city. Yes. What? I don't know. I assume so. Yes. Okay. So it's very dangerous. So then the Gemara continues. The Gemara continues. Fine. But why is the Gemara even bothering to bring this up? Right? Because the Gemara here wanted to show that or means mourning. And the Gemara says, no, it doesn't. In that context, it means the, when it's a, as a noun, or doesn't, right? The Gemara says, in that pasuk, or was being used as a verb. Right? The day it became light, rather than as a noun. As a noun, it might still mean night. Okay? Good? Case one? Yalla. Meitve, next one. Ucheor boker yizrach shemesh. So in Shmuel Bet, the pasuk says, as the light of the morning at sunrise, right? Good. Now, what is that? What's he quoting? Okay. Assuming you don't know Shmuel Perikov Gimel by heart, what does that mean? What is the context? Okay, I'll read you the whole pasuk. Tell me what type of perik this is. Uchor boker yizrach shemesh boker lo avot minoga mimatar desha me'eretz. It is like the light of morning at sunrise, a morning without clouds, through sunshine and rain, bringing vegetation out of the earth. It's a thank you. It's a poem. It's a poem. Thank you. It's a poem.
A song. A poem. It's David HaMelech talking. Yes,
Yes, it's David saying, "Shir" in Hebrew can either mean song or poem. So it's a shir, whether it's a song or a poem, whatever. Yes. So in that context, it says Alma. What do we see? Or Yemamahu. Right? Or boker. Yes? So the Gemara says, no, again, miktiv or boker. Uche or boker. It doesn't say or boker, which would mean identity. Or equals morning. What does it say? Uke or boker, like the light of the morning. Vahachik amar, uke or boker, bolam azek, ein zrichat shemesh, latzadikim, lolam haba. As the morning light of this world shines at its peak, so will the sun rise for the righteous in the world to come. Now, what exactly this means, and again, I'm not going to get into it, but whether this is metaphorical or literal, that in the Olam Haba, the sun will be stronger, right? Literally, right? Will be stronger. What does that hang on? Whether this pasuk should be taken literally or metaphorically? What is the machloket? Is the machloket Rav and Shmuel? Several places in Shas as to whether in Yimod HaMashiach, Olam Kiminago Noheg, that nature will remain, and therefore all these miraculous things like the lamb and the lion being in peace are to be taken metaphorically, talking about peoples, right? That the powerful and the less powerful live in peace, which is Shmuel, or Rav saying, no, this is literal. The Messianic age is going to be miraculous, and therefore when it says the sun is going to shine brighter, it means that literally, and in the Rishonim, it divides. The Rambam takes the position of Shmuel, that in the time of Mashiach, nature will continue as normal. Other Rishonim disagree. Okay, good. Next one, yes. We're going to get there. That's what we're doing. I said, we're getting there. I don't want to... that's why I'm trying to run through the Gemara as much as possible without getting bogged down in every single example. Meitve, third one. Vayikra Elokim Laor Yom. Okay, please tell me you know where that pasuk is from. Breishit where? Oh, come on, Aleph. What, have you never been in shul on Simchat Torah while they have the first perek of the Torah being read? V'akray Elohim Laor Yom V'lachoshech Kara Laila V'ayere V'ayivoker Yom Echad. Ouch, you're hurting me. You're hurting me. Yom Echad. So he says, Alma, what do you see? Very simply, God, Vayikra Elokim Laor Yom. God called the day, the light, day. Alma Or Yamamahu, which tells you that Or is day. Sigmar says, no, Hachika Amar. La Meir Uva Kira Yom. The process of the day of light, things becoming light, that period of time in which things become light, that is daytime. But not that or means that. Ela meyata velachoshech kara laila. So wait a second. The second half of the pasuk lamachshich uva kara laila. That is, it's darkening. That's night. V'kaimelan dat tzedko chavim yamamahu. Aye, but don't you see that until tzedako? But don't we say that until tzedako chavim it is day, right? The tzedako chavim is night. But what's the problem? From shkia until tzedako chavim, it is getting darker. And if the way you read the pasuk is that the time at which it gets brighter is day, that means by the inverse is the time at which it gets darker is night, which would imply that when does night, right? When does night start? When the light starts to leave, which is sunset, but that's not what we paskin. When does night start? At tzedak kochavim. So the Gemara says, now, we could spend forever on tzedak kochavim, shkia, bein hashmashot. What is the relationship between all them? I'm not going to do that. Because really, this is not the place. I mean, I understand that we sort of talked about the words tzedak kochavim, but now is not the time. Elahaki Kamar, Kari Rahman el Lahora, Ufagda Mitzvata di Mama, the Kari Rahman el Hashocha, Vagda Mitzvata di Elia. No, what it means is not that he called it identity, gave it a name, it's that he called to the light and told it to do what it's supposed to do during the day. Your mitzvah is to brighten the day, and he called to, right, he didn't call the day light or light day, he called to light, personified. And he said, day, do what you are supposed to do. Brighten the world. Thank you. Do you understand why I said I just wanted a day without preparation to just sort of read through this? And this is why, because I could get bogged down in this forever, but I really don't want to. Meidvei. So then we quote a pasuk from Tehillim Kuf Memchet. Halleluhu kol chokhvei or. This you should know. It's part of Psukei Dizimra, which comes from Tehillim, but I hope at least you've read Psukei Dizimra, and I'm not sure how much you've studied Tehillim. Meitvei, Halalu Kokochle Or. Praise God, all the stars of Or. So now the Gemara says, wait, I have a proof in the opposite direction, because the stars are identified with the word Or. When do you see the stars? At night, Alma Or Urtahu. So that means Or is night. So the Gemara says, no. Again, Hachika Amar Halu Kokol Chavim Ameirim. It means not the stars which are or, but the stars which provide light. Elamayata Hamiirim Udaboyla Shabuche Sheina Meirim Lo Bai Shabuche. Do you mean that stars that give off light should praise God, and stars that don't give off light should not praise God? I have no idea what a star that doesn't give off light is. I don't know if Chazal knew about about black holes, and that's what's going on. Of course, if I wanted to be one of those people who thought that Chazal knew everything about the universe, even though things that, science didn't come up with thousands of years, I would say, aha, they knew about stars that don't give off light. That means they knew about supernovas that turn into black holes. Aha. I don't actually think that's what it means. It's very unlikely that that's what it means. But it is important to note, right, that there is this idea of the stars praising God, which again, as you're doing with Rai Ginsburg in Rambam Yomi, will hang on whether you think that what you think it means that the stars give song hangs on whether you think their existence praises God, but they don't have any intelligence and are not praising God. Or if you think that the sun, the moon, and the stars have intelligence, then they literally praise God. And in this sense, as you'll see, the Rambam, that they have intelligence and they praise God. So the Gemara says, "V'halu v'aktiv, v'halu kol tzivav." Doesn't it say that all the legions of God should praise Him, which shows that all stars, even stars that don't illuminate, praise God? So Ella Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, "You're right." The or the gochavim nami orhu. What is it showing you? That the light of stars counts as light. Chiddush. The Gemara says, "L'may nafkamina." Thank you. I'm so happy. Very good. The or light of stars. He says, aha, l'noder min ha'or. This is the most brisker answer ever. If someone makes a vow that he will not benefit from any light, so you might think that he only meant the light of the sun, and therefore you're allowed to let him go out of his house at night. Kamash malan. That no, he can never get benefit from any light, including the light of the stars, so he has to live in utter darkness. And from here we learn that someone who makes a neder that he won't benefit from light, he can't benefit from the stars. Now there's an obvious problem here to anyone who's learned all of Masechet Nedarim. And there is one rule in Masechet Nedarim that you have to know, and that is, B'nidarim holchin achar lashon b'nei adam. That by Nidarim, by vows, we don't follow objective use of language. We follow subjective use of language. Holchin achar lashon b'nei adam. So what's the problem? Clearly here, right, we're quoting, if you want, 1 second, if you wanted to prove whether or not or kolchavim means or, so what should you do? You should ask people, what do you mean by the word or? So why would the Mara quote a pasuk, right? Why is the pasuk relevant? So what do you think the answer is? Why does it bother quoting a pasuk? Right, again, we don't use formal language by Nedarim. We care about what people mean. It's not overcomplicate things. The rule in Nedarim is, don't overcomplicate it. Yes, fine. But the point is, why do we care what the word or could possibly mean in a pasuk? Right? So, okay, so it could be, so Tosfos just says, listen, right? Look at the last Tosfos. He says, he said, look, you're right. If I could prove that people spoke, that when they said or, they did not mean what it meant in the Torah, then we would go after Lashon B'nei Adam. You're right. But if we have no evidence to the contrary that people specifically do not mean to use the word in the way it's being used biblically, then what is our default? What it means in the Torah, right? So he's saying this is a very limited nafkamina. This is in a world in which we don't know that people specifically mean something else. What? So Ritva has two possibilities, right? One is what I just said is Hechad lo yadina and vada is in vata achar lashon Torah. Then we don't know for sure what people mean, so our default is the Torah. But his first possibility is Hecha de efshar. Hechad lo efshar could go on always. Shemar lashon hakodesh, right? He says, right, he takes a more formal approach, and he says, in a case where someone who doesn't speak Hebrew as his first language, which I know is none of you, right, and then he uses Hebrew, then we can't go by Lashon B'nei Adam. Why? Because Hebrew isn't your Lashon B'nei Adam. You don't know Hebrew. So therefore, what did you mean when you said it? whatever it objectively means, right? So the Ritva has two possibilities. One is that biblical is default. The second is for somebody who doesn't normally speak Hebrew and therefore doesn't have a Lashon B'nei Adam when it comes to Hebrew words, what he means is whatever it means in the Torah. Okay, now, all of you will ask the obvious question, which is, why would anyone be so stupid? The answer is, people are stupid. Kasha, I don't know what you want from my life. People make stupid nidarim all the time. As I've talked to many poskim in my life, and a common theme between them is that the stupidest shilas they get are nidarim shilas, because people ask stupid shilas because they say stupid things. Okay? I have seen many people make stupid nidarim in my life. I have seen so many stupid nidarim, okay? Okay. Between ones that I've heard or talked to poskim, they range from, I made a neder and I don't remember what it was. What do I do? Is the whole world forbidden to me? Right? The answer, by the way, is you do hatart nidarim klali. People get into fights and say, I promise I will never, right? Two brothers who said get into a fight, and one promised, made a neder, I will never see you again. To which the mother responded, well, if you don't come to the Seder with your brother, I make a neder and I'll never see you again. Right? This is like a standard. This is a standard neder problem. Right? People do things like this. Right? People make nedarim all the time. It's bad. Don't do it. And then, you know, my all-time favorite neder shayla is actually a nazir shayla. Right? My favorite tshuva in the Radbaz. Which is, someone came to the Radbaz and he said, I made a Nazir Shimshon. What do I do? See Mordechai's face. Nazir Shimshon, which is a Nazirot that can never be taken back, and it is forever. What do I do? And he said, at first I was trying to figure out, I couldn't get out of it. And then I said, wait. Why did you make a Nazirot Shimshon? And he said, because I was angry. And that's what people do when they're angry. He's like, wait a second.
Wait, what?
Yes. He's like, do you know who Shimshon was? He's like, I haven't the slightest clue. Do you know what Nazir is? I don't know what this is. He's like, and I was Matir because he was an Am Haaretz. Right? Right? So, yes. Right? Nazir Shalas are weird. Okay? Kachaze. That's life. In Malasa. People are stupid and they make Nadarim. Okay? Fact of life. Yes. If you're not a native Hebrew speaker, it's haloez. The Ritva says haloez. Right, so I don't know if the Ritva is talking about someone who really doesn't understand Hebrew at all, right? And therefore we just assume. Lahavdil. People who learn Hebrew, who know biblical Hebrew, but haven't lived in Israel, don't know modern Hebrew, right? Their grammar might be impeccable, but no one will understand them. Right, people who are sticklers about, right, so there is a philologist at YU in the graduate school who is like a stickler for biblical Hebrew, and sometimes he will come here and he will speak in like biblical Hebrew and people won't understand it, right? Because like, if you're not a modern Israeli Hebrew speaker, you might say things like einenni yodea, right, rather than lo yodea, right? And then you're not going to use words like einenni, right? Like, you're not going to use. If one of you walked in, I know your Hebrew isn't great, but if you walked into the store and you wanted to make chulin, so you were looking for barley, what would you say to the store owner? What do you need? Sa'ora. And what will he do? Say, what in God's name are you talking about? What is sa'ora? Right? Probably not, unless they realize that you're American and you're speaking biblical Hebrew. And they'll say, oh, grisim. And you'll be like, you had a perfectly good biblical Hebrew word for barley, se'orah, and you switched it to grisim. But they won't know what you're talking about, right?
So yes, in Israeli,
if he says, I am noder from se'orah, it probably doesn't mean barley. I'm not sure what it does mean. But if an American who only learned Hebrew in, you know, school said, I am noder from se'orah, it means barley. But for an Israeli to usher barley, it would have to be grisim, right? Because that happens, you know? And then you'll say, right? And then, you know, you'll... Now, of course, as you know, the hardest Hebrew words will not be those words. The hardest Hebrew words will be the ones, will be English words that you're trying to figure out. Correct. when they'll, right, when they'll say, yes, exactly, when they'll say things like, ah, right, what? I know, but that's not what any, like this, you know, when you go into a store, this happened to me once years ago, right? Before I, you know, when I first came back to Israel, and I'm like, looking for barley, and it's like, no, this was an actual story, and I said, so rah, he's like, what is so rah? And
it's funny they don't actually know how to do it.
Yeah, they didn't know, so rah, I'm like, I know, right? And I'm like, oh, grisim, I'm like, grisim, yeah, sure. No, this actually happened to me, it was terrible, right? And since then, look, this is a problem in both directions, right? Okay, right? Bad Hebrew, bad English, whatever. You always got to be careful. Yeah, yeah. What? Yeah, Old English not funny. Correct. Or to be fair, talking with people from other English-speaking countries. Well, there can be awkward situations there too. Especially when words mean something very different in different English. Like when I was in yeshiva and one of my British friends was explaining how him and all his friends would frequent a gentleman's club. I'm like, I don't think that means the same thing in America as it does in London. I'm like, what is that? Oh, it's a place where we go with top hats and a cane and drink tea. I'm like, yep, that's not what it means in America. What? Let me see. He what he said to me. He said 10:30. He hasn't told me anything, which I assume means traffic. I mean, I messaged him last night and confirmed, but okay. So let's see. We might have time for one more. Then I'll call him if I don't see him. So the Gemara tries one more. This is from Mordechai. Okay, it's from Eov. Yeah. Actually, you know what? This one actually had, I did want to share a little bit of Lumdus on it briefly. Going from Eov into, Baba Machteret. You know what? Okay. I'm going to hold this for tomorrow. Okay. So maybe whatever, we got less time in. So maybe we'll spend one more day going through these cases tomorrow. Just read through the Gemara on this particular one. I would like you to look at the Rambam in the ninth parak of Hilchot Rotzeach with the Ravid, right? And I want to make a methodological point about it. So I'll leave that for tomorrow. So maybe we'll, okay, I'm one day off on what I was planning, but tomorrow we'll try to get through this Amud, and then tomorrow's Thursday, so then I guess Sunday I want to do the Sugya of Lashon Nikiyah and Lashon Kavod, which is in Gimel Amud Aleph. And then we'll continue from there. Okay, so tomorrow I'll give you just a little bit of sources, but basically familiarize yourself with the Gemara, and I'll give you a Rambam Ravid. And the question I want you to, I'll just sort of outline it. But here's the question. The Gemara said, the Gemara rules, as you'll see in a moment, that the Pasuk says by Bamachteret, that Im Zarach Alav HaShemesh, if the sun shone on the Baba Machteret, right, the person who tunnels into your house, then you're not allowed to kill it, right? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and you'll see it here, that that is metaphorical. That im zarach alav kishemesh, right, if im baru lacha kishemesh, if it's clear to you as the sun that he's not going to kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. Okay? But if not, not. The question is, what happens if, literally, it's the day? Right? Does the halacha of Baba Machter not apply during the day? Okay? The Rambam says it does apply during the day, right? The Ravid says it does not, and the machloket hangs on how you understand the phrase that ena mikra yotze midei pshuto. That even when we have a halachic derivation that goes that takes a metaphorical or exegetical read of the pasuk, we still what? The pshat still matters. So why here does the Rambam say it doesn't matter, and he only reads it metaphorically, and the Ravid? Right, so that's what I wanted. I want to make that brief point because I do think it's an important methodological point. So I guess we'll spend one more day sort of reading through the Gemara. We'll make little points like we did today, and then the next sugya I want to take up is on Gimel Amud Aleph. But again, if any of these sugyot pique your interest and you dafka want me to delve into it, I'm happy to do it. But I don't think you want to go more into the Neder sugya than we already did, or traveling at night and demons and whatever. What? Yeah, we're not going to do that. You'd have to do all of Nedarim. you're doing nazir. That I won't do. I mean, we can talk about Lashon Bnei Adam, but there is a fascinating Ron I would share with you, but not now because I'm going to call Dr. Levins and see what's...